Well, you know, last week we was talking about exile, right? And we talked about the fact that we might have to go through it, right? And so this week we're going to take that just a step further. We're going to actually allow Christ to speak to us from His Word. Because I think sometimes, especially this time of year, we've heard the Easter story so many times that we just miss some of the, we'll say, nuances of the Easter story, and we kind of move through it rather quickly to, you know, the trial and Pilate and the crucifixion. And we have to remember what got us there. And so today, as we're thinking about exile, I think we ought to remember that it can be a state or a period of voluntary absence. To be exiled, you don't have to be pushed out by somebody else. To be exiled, you can do it yourself. And many times, as life crashes in around us, as we find that we can't cope, one of our coping mechanisms is to check out, right? But I don't think that's the kind of exile we really want to think about. That's not dealing with the problem. I want us to do exile where we deal with the problem by allowing God to let us step back, to learn, to understand. And I think sometimes as life crashes in on top of us, you know, like Lloyd. Yes, last week I told you that you had a week to 2 weeks to make sure that you were ready for his departure. Now, I'm not so sure this week that was a good thing to tell you last week, but hey, he got company. Let's look at it from the right side, right? Okay. So today, we're going to look in Luke, and we're going to understand this just slightly different. And so we're going to read Luke 22. We're going to start in verse 39. We might read all the way to 46, but don't. I may not want to. You may not want me to, because that may increase the length, you know, one of those things. But Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him there. It says, as usual. This is some place that a lot has happened for Jesus. And this is where he's going to make his final prayer. This is where he has been spending the night. I have often wondered why he doesn't stay in a house. You know what I'm saying? There's no house out here. It's a garden. It's actually an olive grove. Always was. And it was an olive grove for Jerusalem. And so we have to remember he's just going out where he usually stays, out basically in the wilderness, but alone. And so many times I think we're so busy, and I'm probably the worst person for this, we're so busy with life, or we're so busy making sure we aren't alone, or we're so busy because we don't want to not be busy, that we don't allow God to speak to us. We never use that time to be alone. Even when we fast and pray, sometimes our fast may be long, but our prayer might be short. The last 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, I forgot to tell everybody that I wasn't going to make it because I decided, since the weather was going to be bad, I wanted to be in McPherson before it started snowing, and then it really didn't snow much. But This last week, I got busy working on my sermon. And the next thing I know, I look outside and I'm waiting for Ashlyn to get home early. And I happen to look outside about 10 till 1, and there's pickups in the driveway. I missed our time of prayer. Not that I missed it, but I didn't make it here because I was working on my sermon. And so I think sometimes we're so caught up in everything that's going on, we don't really take time to allow God to work on us. Verse 40 says, on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Pray so you won't. This is one of those things that I like to say all the time. You're better off to be prayed up than prayed for. If we pray quite a bit out ahead of what we think may be a problem, or as long as we keep ahead in our prayer life, then it can help us keep out of temptation. Because God's not necessarily going to stop us from having temptation. He doesn't ever say that he's going to take our temptation away. He never says that that's going to be part of the issue. He only says that it'll be not to where you can't bear it. He'll always give us an out. But temptation is part of life, and especially as Christians. Because as we studied earlier a few weeks ago, Christ was tempted and led out into the wilderness, right? The Holy Spirit took him out there for it. You don't think the Holy Spirit's going to take us? Trust me. We're all going to be tempted. We're all going to be touched by God. And sometimes he's going to take us out there and pretty much exile us until we come to understand why we're out there. So don't think just because we're Christians, life's going to be easy. Verse 41, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. Now that stone's throw, I noticed the other day, can be much different for each one of us. I mean, Cordell, he can go out there, take a stone, throw it quite a ways. And then I'll grab a stone and I'll pick it up again, throw it again, maybe I'll catch up with him. So, you know, depending on how far you want to throw, but the point is not how far it is, but that you go off alone. Christ is showing us here that once in a while we need to make sure that we pray alone. It's always good to pray with others. Don't get me wrong. And the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there I am also. But once in a while we need to really hear from God. And we don't necessarily always hear from God when there's other voices, when there's other things going on, when other people are praying. We sometimes lose Christ. We lose the Holy Spirit's still, sweet voice. Once in a while, it doesn't come crashing through. And then it says, there are times when you must walk alone. Once in a while, we have to walk alone. It's part of our growth, as we were speaking about last week. It's part of who we are. If we don't walk alone, if we don't allow God to work on us, we may not learn the thing we need to learn at that point. And as we spoke last week, it's an ongoing growth. And then it says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Now, I like this. It says, if you are willing. It doesn't say, if you can. It says, if you are willing. Christ here is making it extremely clear that it's up to God. Even where Christ is concerned, even with what's going to happen, and we all know that he's going to the cross. We all know he's going to be beaten. We all know that he's going to be crucified. But it comes down to if God's willing. And I'm sure that once in a while when we are in the middle of turmoil, when life has got us down, when we're supposed to be about ready to learn something, or we're praying for somebody else, we have to make sure that we're willing to allow God to be willing. You know, sometimes, and I've heard, you know, you have your prosperity type preachers and those that preach that if you name it, you can claim it. That's really not in the Bible, just so you know. You need to name it. Don't get me wrong. But we have to remember, if we're good Christians, if we're good followers of Jesus, that we're going to ask God if he's willing. And then adjust our will to his end, to where he goes, to what he decides. Because it is not to us to decide what God should do. Oh, we can petition. But as we see here, Christ is telling us that it wasn't even up to him. This is the plan that God had for him. And each one of us has a plan before us. And God's going to walk us through that. God's going to help us understand that. God's going to work us to the end and make sure that we're ready for heaven. We're ready to see God. We're ready be in the light. Matthew 26:39 says, go a little further. No, going a little further. He fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. The disciples remembered it the same way. They understood what Jesus was trying to say. And they made sure that we understood it. I'm sure that as we deal with tragedy in our lives, as we deal with those types of things, we're going to get to this point. We're going to get to that point before our exile, or as we enter into our exile, or we enter into that thing that's tearing us apart, that we're going to have to make sure that we truly hand it over. That we actually give it over to God. Because I think a lot of times, oh, we'll come up to the altar and we'll pray and all those things. But even while we're praying, we haven't handed it to God. Even while we're making our petition, we really haven't handed it over to God. Because in the back of our minds, we're still wondering what we can do to change things. You know, that's the beauty of Lloyd and everything that's happened in the last week. They'd handed it over. They decided the doctor knew more than God did, and they had handed it over, and they was ready to move on and allow God to do what God wanted to do. And Lloyd's looking better today, because that's what God wanted to do. Oh, we're all happy he did. But I can safely tell you that when I went over and prayed with him, I only prayed that he would be more comfortable. I didn't necessarily pray for him to be well. Because I'd already given him over to God. And I think in every part of our lives, that this should be true. Every time we run up against trouble, every time that we find that place that we can't get through on our own, we have to stop and give it away. We have to lay it at Jesus' feet and walk away. It's not ours to pick up and carry a while further. Because then the prayer wasn't any good. Many times we'll make prayers, and because we think we can do something, we pick it right back up and carry it out the door with us. And the only person that loses there is us. Because we didn't allow God to teach us. We didn't allow God to bless us. See, there's as much learning in blessings as there is in trouble. And if you don't allow God to give you the blessing, you can't learn from a blessing. You learn from the trouble that you forgot to give him. Matthew 20:22 says, "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Now here he's speaking to the two brothers, right? And they've gone and asked God if they can stand at the right and the left hand of God. Or the left, right and left hand of Jesus. And Jesus says, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're asking." Basically, what they're asking is, can we be the two thieves on the cross? That's what they're asking. That's our type and shadow for this part of it. Are we willing to do that? Are we truly willing to allow God into our lives far enough that we'll give it over completely? As we are baptized, we're submerged into the waters, dead with Christ, and brought back in His fullness. Are we really willing to do that? Because that's what Jesus is doing here. He's allowing God to be in control. And I often think back to that song, 10,000 Angels. Jesus didn't have to die. That's something we have to get true to ourselves is Christ did not have to die. He could have made a choice. He could have rebelled and not died on a cross, and we'd have nothing today. But He willingly gave all. Not my will, but yours be done. He was at the brink of exile. And if you follow the crucifixion through its course, He also tells us that God forsook Him. Sometimes it's going to feel that way. Sometimes when life has got us down, it's going to feel like God has forsaken us. But He hasn't. He's allowed us a point to learn, to grow, to be more like Him. If Christ went through it, we're going to go through it. I don't know any other way to say it. It's just like if Christ forgives others, we have to forgive others. I think we have to learn that we can't change everything. God doesn't want us to. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to allow Him to be God. Closing, I'd like to read a poem by Charles Fougal. He was a French priest and hermit who was murdered in 1916. One of his most famous prayers is called the Prayer of Abandonment. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with the love of my heart. For I love you, Lord. And so I need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve and with boundless confidence, for you are my Father. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for allowing us to just leave our problems in your hands. We thank you for allowing us to grow as we go through exile, as we go through those times where everything seems to be falling apart, that we can give them to you. And continue to have the joy and faith that you'll take care of us. You've never let us down, except those times that we forgot to release. Those times we held on to a little. And so this morning, Lord, we just ask that your mighty hand be upon us. We ask that you walk with us, that you lead us. And when we come to those times when it feels like you're not really right there, help us learn to reach back and give it to you. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen.